Today's reading is from 1 Peter 1, verses 1 to 9. So, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Thanks to you that noticed that we were on mute. That, of course, was absolutely intentional, just to give you a chance to reflect quietly before the Lord about what I might be saying. And thank you, Simon, for sharing so honestly about what you've been going through. Really appreciate you taking the time to do that and being willing to share with everybody what you shared with me. I felt that the book of 1 Peter was so important for us to consider, which is why we're going to go through it bit by bit over the next couple of months. 1 Peter was written by Peter, the disciple of Jesus. There's very, very little doubt that he wrote the letter. It's possible that Silas, who went with Paul on mission, was perhaps the guy who wrote it down and made it into the beautiful Greek that it is. But it's very, very, very likely that Peter was the guy who wrote the letter, 1 Peter. So here's a guy who was a follower of Jesus for 3 years, lived and followed him for all of that time, went through the experience of denying him, was in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was not only praying but then betrayed, went through and saw him crucified, and then saw and encountered Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, after that very first Easter day. Then Peter, who became the leader of the apostles, the disciples who had followed Jesus, was around at Pentecost, which we'll be celebrating in just a few weeks' time when we get to the end of Easter season. At the end of May, we'll celebrate Pentecost. Peter was there in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit fell, and he's writing this letter to people who were scattered to those places from Jerusalem. Because when you read in Acts chapter 2, all of the places that Peter is writing to were represented on the day of Pentecost. So these people came to faith because of Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. And then they went home to their places and presumably planted churches out of what it was that they had encountered through the life and the power of Jesus Christ. But Peter is writing in the context where Emperor Nero is now ruling the Roman Empire. Now, you say what you like about Nero, he was a very difficult emperor if you were a Christian. He brought on a massive persecution of Christians, and Peter is writing into a really difficult situation for Christians all across the world. And I thought, what better letter to look into than this letter of 1 Peter, written to churches going through difficult times that weren't just affecting them, but were affecting many, many other people. And so just as it was a difficult time for the church then, it's a difficult time for us now living in lockdown. I think we all know that life isn't going to return to normal anytime soon. And I've been talking in the last few weeks about how the resurrection of Jesus can fill us with hope through this time. But Peter here, I don't know if you spotted it, I hope you were reading along and I hope you've got it in front of you right now. Peter's not just talking about hope. Peter is talking about joy in the midst of all that is going on. And not just the kind of joy that comes when the guy who's on the YouTube forgets to unmute the microphone. That's just funny. We're talking about joy that's deep down within. That suggests, if Peter is right, that this lockdown offers us the greatest opportunity that perhaps we've ever had to deepen our faith and relationship with Jesus. So the question is, how do we live with hope and joy in this season? So last week I was talking about what it means to live in the light of something that has already happened, the resurrection of Jesus, and something that will happen, our own resurrection. We live in this time between times, and it means that we live with hope because of what has happened and because of what will happen. Today we can live in hope, and that's what he's talking about in verses 3-5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. What happened in the past, Jesus' resurrection, and what will happen in the future, our inheritance, it all starts with God's mercy. We don't deserve anything that God gives us. Everything that we have is a sign of God's grace. All that he has done for us, his mercy over judgment. Judgment is getting what we deserve. Mercy is getting what we don't deserve. By God's grace, when we follow Jesus, we don't get what we deserve. When we put our trust in Jesus, we're given a new birth, Peter says. We're born again. We start anew. We begin afresh. Isn't that amazing? All that we have done wrong, wiped clean, starting again, just like a newborn, with all the opportunities and possibilities that that brings. That's the power of grace. And in this, we greatly rejoice. It brings us joy because of all that Jesus has done for us. So what about the next bit? What about suffering grief through all kinds of trials, as he talks about in verse 6? Well, we're experiencing all kinds of trials, all kinds of struggles through this lockdown, and not being able to see our friends, having to do relationships over Zoom, not being able to finish our school or university courses properly, homeschooling our kids, working out finances during furlough. I don't know how it's affecting you, but each one of us are going through trials of all kinds in this particular season. And that's on top of all the normal trials of life, of relationships and misunderstandings, our mental and physical health issues, our financial pressures. So what are we meant to do in these times of trials? Well, Peter uses the analogy of refining. I tried to find a video of this, but nowadays it seems that most metal refining processes happen with chemicals. But in Peter's day, it was done using heat, and heat in a crucible. You see, what you would do is you'd break down the ore and put it into a crucible, and you'd heat it up to an incredibly high heat. And what would happen is that the metal would begin to separate from the ore, from the rubbish, and it would leave dross or slag on the top of what has been heated. And the person who's doing the refining would scrape off the top of the metal, the dross or the slag, and throw it away. And then once they'd done that, they would turn the heat up even more to purify the gold more fully. And then more dross, more slag comes to the top. The trials that we go through show in us the stuff that God wants to deal with. It brings it to the surface. I don't know about you, but I'm a bit more irritable. I'm a bit less patient. I get a bit more quickly frustrated with the people that I love in the midst of this lockdown. And doing relationships on Zoom is hard. you can't read body language quite as well. And perhaps like you, I've had a number of phone calls and Zoom calls after Zoom calls trying to iron out some miscommunication and some misunderstandings. It's hard work to have grace for ourselves, to have grace for other people. And for me, it's brought to the surface some dross, some slag that needs to get scraped out of my life and done away with. Jesus uses the trials that we go through to expose things within us, but not to make us feel bad about them, to help us deal with them by giving them to him and allowing him to take them from us. And the process of scraping off this dross is to say sorry and to repent, to receive forgiveness and try to live a different way, taking on new habits, new ways of thinking, new practices, new things that we do in order to get better at something that help us live more like Jesus from here on in. Peter says it's these trials that prove our faith. They demonstrate that our faith is there and that we're trying to live by faith. Another way of saying it is a bit like testing our faith. And a friend shared this analogy earlier on this week, and I love it. I know exams are cancelled this year, but it's a really helpful picture because sometimes in the time of testing, we can wonder, like, where has God gone? It seems that we're all alone and he's not answering our prayers. We can't seem to experience his presence and his peace. Does that mean we've got it all wrong? Does that mean our faith is meaningless? Does that mean that God doesn't like us? Does it mean that God is not present? Or maybe he's just not even there at all and we've been fooling ourselves. Well, when you're doing an exam, the teacher has done all that they can leading up to that exam to get you ready for it. They trust that you're ready for it because they've done the hard work and you've done the hard work in preparing for it. They've taught you the knowledge that you need. They've coached you in the way to answer the questions, but the exam is the place to find out if you really get it. Your teacher steps away for a moment to allow you the opportunity to prove yourself. You've been taught, you've been coached, you've done this before with the teacher's help. Now it's the time to demonstrate that you can do it even without them there. It's not that God has abandoned you. It's not that God is not present. It's that he is giving you space in the time of testing to see what's in you, to see what comes out of you, just as the teacher gives you space in the exam to answer the questions yourself without their help. Sometimes we get an easy question and we know the answer. We're like, yes, I've got this one. Sometimes we get a harder question and we have to use some of the things that we've learned to work out what to do. We might not get everything right, but we don't have an angry teacher. We have a loving father who draws us close to him, points out the things that we got right to celebrate, points out the things that we can continue to work on, and helps us with that. It's grace by which we are saved. Tests are hard. Nobody likes them, but they provide the opportunity to prove what's inside of you. Jesus used a different analogy in John chapter 15, where he talked about pruning. The time of testing is like pruning a plant, where you cut away what's unfruitful or what's unhealthy or unnecessary. Pruning cuts these away to make the plant more healthy. And the important thing in the time of pruning is to keep our eyes fixed on the gardener, not our eyes fixed on the secateurs that he's using to cut away the parts that are unhealthy or unfruitful or unnecessary. Because what's left when things have been cut away is a healthier plant. What's left when the dross has been scraped off is a purer metal. And with gold, once it has been purified, the metal worker can gaze upon the gold and see in it their own reflection. As you allow God to work on you through this time. You'll reflect him more and more. So embrace this time of testing as a time to help take on healthy spiritual practices. It's not easy, but it's worth it in the long run. Making time to get into the scriptures each day, making time to pray with the time that we have, making time to join our connect group. I know we're all tired of Zoom by the end of the day, but there's no Zoom call like it that helps give us spiritual nourishment and community together. And like Simon mentioned before he did the reading, we need each other to get into good practices. We can't do it alone. Without one another, we can drift and become drawn in by the temptations around us from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Peter says that as we allow ourselves to go through the fire, as the refining process does its work, we can be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And James, the brother of Jesus, says the same thing in James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Oh, it's my desire. I long to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And I long for you as part of our church community to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. But the truth is, the only way this happens is by going through the trials, letting the furnace do its work, exposing the dross within us, so that the Father can scrape it away and see in us his own reflection. We demonstrate through the test that our faith is true. And God demonstrates through the test that he is faithful in purifying us and making us more like him. So as the heat is turned up, as the trial continues, let's be filled with both hope and joy, that God uses them to help us grow, to purify us, that we might reflect him even more.